the headlines this hour. Afghan President Hamid Karzai criticizes the killings of civilians in the US-led operation in southern Afghanistan. In Ukraine, Prime Minister Yulia Tymoshenko drops her legal challenge to the results of the country's presidential election. And also this bulletin, preliminary findings of a recent survey show the already gloomy conditions of the U.S. states' economies are set to worsen. Well, our top story here on Press TV comes out of Afghanistan, where President Hamid Karzai has condemned the killings of civilians in the recent U.S.-led operation in southern Afghanistan.
This is the picture of a child of our country who went to Lashkar Gah Hospital to collect the 12 bodies of her family members. An 8-year-old child goes to collect the dead bodies of her 12 family members.
Well, NATO has already claimed responsibility for the deaths during Operation Mushtarak against the Taliban in Helmand province. In a recent speech at the opening session of the Afghan parliament, Karzai also said NATO's efforts to prevent civilian deaths are insufficient. Meanwhile, NATO forces have killed yet another Afghan civilian in the town of Nad Ali. The alliance claims the person had been shot dead by mistake. 16 civilians have been killed since the massive operation started a week ago. Thousands of NATO and Afghan troops are taking part in the joint offensive aimed at clearing the Helmand province from the Taliban militants.
The Afghan parliament held an opening session Saturday as lawmakers returned to work after 1 month winter vacation. And at the opening session, President Karzai gave a long speech, touching once again on peace talks with the Taliban.
If Taliban want an independent Afghanistan, if they want an Islamic country, they should accept our peace proposal.
But the Taliban have repeatedly turned down his offer, saying foreign troops should leave Afghanistan first. The U.S. and Britain, which in 2001 waged the war and invaded Afghanistan to overthrow the Taliban, are now backing Karzai's plans for talks with them. Thousands of Afghan civilians have lost their lives, either as the direct result of strikes by the NATO forces or in terrorist attacks by the militants. Karzai made the offer when a major offensive against Taliban, with the involvement of 15,000 Afghan and NATO-led troops, including 5,000 U.S. Marines, has been going on for over a week. He also promised that Afghan National Security Forces would be able to fully lead all anti-terror operations in Afghanistan soon, and vowed to fight against corruption, provide job opportunities, and revive the country's economy over the next 5 years.
We hope that none of our fellow citizens are targeted in the fight against terror and there are no more civilian deaths.
Right after President Karzai's speech, Sabghatullah Mujahideen, Speaker of the Upper House, was asked to pray and bring the session to an end. But before doing this, he handed over his resignation and requested President Karzai to accept it. Mujahideen strongly protested against rampant corruption in the government and accused it of not being serious in fighting this menace.
People are deeply concerned about corruption and insecurity. The fight against these two problems is quite easy. The government should launch a crackdown on the corrupt officials and stop supporting them.
Analysts say his resignation is a sign that even Mr. Karzai's allies have grown impatient with the lack of progress in fighting corruption.
Corruption has greatly affected the Afghan society. And the foreign troops in the country, especially those foreign troops that support some certain organizations, are responsible for this.
Sabghatullah Mujahideen is a well-known political figure in Afghanistan. He was the first president when Mujahideen fighters seized power from the Soviet-backed government of Najibullah in 1992. Mujahideen, a close ally of President Karzai, has been the head of a government commission charged with trying to convince the Taliban and their allies to lay down their arms.
Corruption in civilian deaths by the U.S.-led NATO forces are the two major challenges facing the Afghan government. Experts warn analysts these issues are satisfactorily addressed. Any talk of victory over the militants would be unrealistic. Faiz Khurshid, Press TV, Kabul.
Well, staying with Afghanistan, violence in southern and eastern Afghanistan has claimed the lives of around 24 people and injured several others. At least 7 civilians were killed when a missile struck Sohrud district in Nangarhar province. Roadside blasts have also claimed the lives of 6 other people. No group has claimed responsibility for the attacks, but Afghan officials blame the Taliban. The militant group also ambushed an Afghan convoy in Paktia province, killing 4 security men. This while 6 anti-drug police were killed in a similar attack in the southern Helmand province. The Dutch Prime Minister has offered his government's resignation to Queen Beatrix. Jan Balkenende's administration has collapsed over disagreements on extending the mandate for troop deployments to Afghanistan. His Christian Democrats party wanted to agree to a NATO request to keep soldiers in Afghanistan beyond 2010. But this was bitterly opposed by the Labour Party. Just under 2,000 Dutch troops have been serving in southern Afghanistan since 2006. 21 have been killed so far. NATO is still hoping that the Netherlands will accept its request. A NATO spokesman has said the continued presence of Dutch troops is best for the Afghan mission. Germans have taken to the streets of Berlin to protest their country's presence in Afghanistan. The protesters gathered from across the country to demand an end to the NATO presence. They say human life has become the price of the ongoing war. They also slammed Berlin's troop surge plan and demanded foreign forces give peace a chance. Germany's foreign minister says a troop withdrawal is not possible as it will change Afghanistan into a safe haven for terrorists. Opinion polls show a vast majority of Germans are against the war and want all troops brought home. Germany has the third largest contingent after the United States and Britain, with more than 4,000 troops in northern Afghanistan. Ukraine's defeated presidential candidate has dropped her court appeal against the outcome of this month's presidential runoff. Kiev's higher administrative court has agreed to stop hearing the defeated presidential candidate's legal challenge over election results. Timoshenko had alleged voting irregularities and was seeking to reverse the official declaration of Viktor Yanukovych's win before his inauguration. However, she reversed her decision and withdrew her complaint after Yanukovych's party launched moves in parliament to oust Timoshenko's government. Well, our correspondent in Kiev gives us the latest developments on Ukraine's political row.
A few minutes ago, the Higher Administrative Court of Ukraine closed all the case on Timoshenko's appeal to the court. As it was known before, Timoshenko recalled her appeal to the Higher Administrative Court. She said that everything that had happened in a few days in the court was a performance and absolutely didn't look like administration of the justice. Also, Timoshenko said that in case the court will consider her appeal without her participation, it will mean the court wants to see, to show that the presidential election were legitimate, they were transparent, and they were free. The region's party lawyer said that Timoshenko actually made the right decision. She has made the right political step. It means that it gives her an opportunity to turn into the political war for the presidential post in the next few years. Also, he said that the decision of Timoshenko to recall her appeal to the court means that the case is cancelled in the court. Some members of the Central Election Commission said that the recalling of Timoshenko, this issue from the court means that she was just simply trying to destabilize the situation after the transparent presidential election.
In other news, new findings have revealed that a dismal economic situation in the U.S. is set to worsen. The report says the current situation in a lot of the states is fairly poor. The preliminary findings of the survey recently conducted of nearly 45 of the 50 states found that they have around $19 billion budget deficit. This is while their revenues have also plummeted for 4 quarters in a row. Last year's stimulus plan included the largest transfer of money from the federal government to the states in the nation's history. Moreover, a crisis in the healthcare system is adding to the heaps of problems. Experts are trying to generate more awareness about the most common killer of Americans. Grace Yu reports from New York.
Heart disease is the number one killer of all Americans.
It is the most common cause of death for both men and women in the United States, much greater than all the next 10 causes of death combined. So it's really a huge public health problem in the United States today.
The American Heart Association says more than 81 million people in the U.S. have some form of cardiovascular disease. Plus, heart diseases cause one out of every three deaths. Because this is such a big problem, there's a push to raise more awareness and encourage healthier lifestyles.
If they're contemplating change, then there's maybe a point where they can actually do something about it.
February is American Heart Month. At New York University's Langone Medical Center, health professionals host a heart health fair to mark the occasion. The hope is to help save lives with the aid of more education and awareness, along with more tangible tools. To help fight heart disease, there are always scientific discoveries and new technology.
High-tech pacemakers that are smart pacemakers do so many good things. We're having ventricular assist devices that actually help the heart to pump while we're trying to heal the heart.
While medical breakthroughs can help heal the heart, simple diet and exercise can prevent the problem in the first place. It's a solution that can help people in the U.S. and around the world.
As our Western lifestyle, sedentary lifestyle gets exported to other countries around the world, their rates of heart disease go up dramatically. So we really do believe that it's very much related to diet and sedentary lifestyle and result in obesity.
Officials estimate that this year, heart diseases will cost the United States $316.4 billion. This total includes the cost of health care services, medications, and lost productivity. The dollar figure of the top killer of Americans can be just as staggering as the number of deaths this disease claims. Grace Yee, Press TV, New York.
While you're watching World News here on Press TV, a quick reminder of the headlines this hour. Afghan President Hamid Karzai criticizes the killings of civilians in the U.S.-led operation in southern Afghanistan. In Ukraine, Prime Minister Yulia Tymoshenko drops her legal challenge to the results of the country's presidential election. And preliminary findings of a recent survey show the already gloomy conditions of the U.S. state's economies are set to worsen.